through 3 of Hosea chapter 6. And notice what the Bible says here, Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. It says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." It is a change of scenery, if you will, in those three verses and in the last couple of chapters that we've read, is it not? And let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we will go into the message here this evening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. I do thank you for, Lord, the way that you care for us. Lord, your long-suffering. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. And, Lord, each and every one of us, Lord, the only reason we're here in your house today, and Lord, even alive for that matter, is because of your grace and your mercy. And Lord, I do pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I pray that we would leave here knowing that we've heard from you, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit would have free course in our lives, and Lord, that we would just obey the word of God, apply it to our hearts tonight. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray they'd come to know you tonight. And Lord, I ask all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, here in the book of Hosea, we have seen which way to turn. There was a point where they had been delivered from Egypt, and now they're standing at the Red Sea, and they're waiting to see what's going to happen, and all may be fine and good at that point. And then they start hearing chariots and horses behind them, and they start hearing that the enemy is coming in, and then their attitude changed pretty quickly. And at that point, they started going at Moses and started saying something along these lines. They said, "Did you bring us out here to die? Were there not enough graves in Egypt for us?" And that's when God said, "Be still and know that I am God." That's when God said, you can just keep trusting in me. I've got something planned." And he told Moses exactly what to do. And Moses went out there and he held his staff above the water exactly like God told him to do. And God separated the waters. And not only that, but he dried up the ground in the middle there. And as the children of Israel went through there, and as the children of Israel went out on the other side, and the Egyptians were in the middle of that, God closed the water and God brought them through with a miraculous victory that day. And God did that, those types of things, many times as they went through the wilderness. See, God has never left Israel. But yet Israel left God. God's never left us. But yet many times we've left God. How many times has God told us exactly what we need to do and what His will was for our life? And we're on fire for that at one point, and we say, "This is what I want to do. I want to go here and follow the Lord because this is what He's called me to do." And then a day goes by, and then a week goes by, and then a month goes by, and a year goes by, and that fire gets smaller and smaller as our eyes get caught up on the things of this world. And many times people look back in their life, and as they look back, they say things like this: "If I only would have followed the Lord at that point, where would my life have been? What could God have done with my life?" We saw, of course, the relationship of God and Israel there. We know that God has never left them. And then we also saw that picture of Hosea and Gomer. Of course, Hosea being the husband there, and he took Gomer to be his wife, and she did all sorts of ungodly things and was in adulterous relationships and just going throughout the town, just doing terrible things there. And Hosea never left Gomer, but Gomer left Hosea. And we saw a beautiful picture there in the last chapter, or actually in chapter 4, we saw a beautiful picture of forgiveness, of God telling Hosea exactly what to do. Go to your wife, And he told him that he is going to buy her back. And last week, as we were in this book, we saw how God told them exactly what was going to happen. We saw how their sin, their idolatry, their spiritual adultery had angered God. And he was talking about dealing with them very harshly. Those words that we read in the Word of God last week in the book of Hosea, those are words that none of us want God to say about us. Think about those things that God was saying there. Remember, he talked about being as a young lion and tearing them to shreds. He said, I will do that there in verse 14. I will tear and go away. I don't want God to say that about me. But many times that's what he could say because we leave him behind. You know, God told them many things that were going to happen because of their sin. And we need to understand that God, though he is loving and though he is righteous and though he is a merciful God, he hates sin. He hates it. And he's going to deal very harshly with sin. We see that throughout the Bible. We saw it all the way back in the Garden of Eden. We saw it at the Tower of Babel and in Sodom and Gomorrah at the brink of the Jordan River when certain Israelites could not pass over. Why is that? Because of their sin. You see, God did this all throughout the Bible, and he showed us time after time after time where our sin is going to take us. But many times we continue down that path saying, well, it's going to be different for me. It's not going to be any different. No, we need to understand that God deals harshly with sin. It's important for us as believers to be slow to sin, but quick to confess our sin. So this evening, I'd like to preach to you a message that I've entitled this. It is time to return. It is time to return. Remember just a few moments ago, I was talking about how God never left Israel, but Israel left God. In this passage here, God did not have to say, I'm going to return to you. No, he's saying, return to me. Come back to where I am. You see, God is always there. No matter where we're at, God is there for us. But the truth of the matter is, God is not going to come down to a sinful level. No, God is saying, I'm here for you. Come to me. God sent his son to die on the cross for us so that we could come to God. So that we could be justified. It is time to return. The time is now. Think about what the Lord said was going to happen. He said that they would be judged. And here in chapter 6, as it starts, we see that the message is taking a turn here. Excuse me. You know, I was thinking about how it's time to return. I was thinking about the many things throughout life when things happen that tells us it's time for something. When we go over to the camp for teen camp, and our young people will know this, when it's time for dinner, something rings. It's a bell. It's this big metal ring over there, and they've got a hammer hanging from it, and they say, it's time to eat, ring the bell. And of course, everyone wants to get over there and grab that hammer, amen? Until they do it one time, and then they realize how loud that thing is, and you can't cover your ears if you got that hammer in your hand. Amen? But they know it's time for something when that happens. I think of the when one nation attacks another nation, as soon as one attack happens, what does the other nation say? It's time for battle. It's time. Think of the wars of old, and I think of the men and why they did this way. I have no idea. Maybe you're more of a history buff than I am, but I cannot figure out why one army would line up on one side of the field and the other army would line up on the other side of the field, and when they gave the order, they would start shooting at each other. I don't understand that tactic in battle, but that's what they did. But what told them it was time to start battle? It was an alarm of some sort. It was a flag of some sort. Something told them it is time. But many times for us as believers, those alarm bells are going off everywhere. Those bells are ringing, aren't they? It's telling us, look, don't keep living in your sin. It's time to return to God. But yet we just continue to go doing what we've been doing. God's saying it's time to return. Herein, verse 1, notice first of all this evening the plea to return. Look at verse 1, if you will. It says, come, Let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. Here in the beginning of this chapter, we see a word, and that word is come. You know, that's what God is calling every sinner to do. Come unto him. Remember when the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. He says, come. Come unto me. He says, I have something for you. But notice here, God says, come. That word come, it comes from the Hebrew word yalak, which means this. It means to march. It means to pursue. It means to cause to run. You see, when he was telling them here, and of course this is the word of the Lord came unto Hosea here. We read that all the way back in the beginning of Hosea. I believe it's in chapter 1 and verse 1, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea. So notice here, God is speaking to Hosea. God is telling him exactly what's going to happen. And Hosea is the man that has to go out to the people of Israel here and tell them exactly what God says. Now imagine being Hosea. Imagine being this man as he goes out and he's telling them exactly what God wants them to know. And he's telling them that God is going to come as a lion. He's going to come as a young lion. He's going to come. He's going to tear and go away. He is going to wreak havoc all the way across the nation of Israel. And as soon as he gets those words out, he says this, but God says, come. He says, come. The message takes a turn here. You know, there is something that we see here a lot of times. If you've ever tried to lead someone through the gospel of Jesus Christ, what you're going to find is the message takes a turn. You're going to find that when you're telling someone, you ask them, hey, do you know for sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? They may say yes or no or whatever it may be. And as you go to give them scriptures on how to get to heaven, you say, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death, right? Those are not things that we want to hear. But then the message changes. And it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, judgment is going to come if we do not turn to God. If we do not return to God, if we as believers, if we think within ourselves, well, I'm man enough to do this, or I'm strong enough to do this. If we don't return to God, I can guarantee you judgment will come. Now, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know you're not going to be in hell for all eternity, but judgment will come. There's going to be judgment. And when God is telling them to come, notice he's not saying, come in your time. He's not saying just to casually return to God. That word means to run. Get there as quick as you can. And I was growing up and you know, many times I find myself repeating phrases that my parents said as I was growing up, and I think to myself, am I turning into my father? When I was growing up, when my mom would call our name, my mom would be out there, maybe in the kitchen, I was in the room or upstairs or whatever, and I would hear this, Ryan! My mom did not want to hear this. Yeah, Mom! Don't say that. You say this, I'm coming. I'm on the way. I'll be there in just a moment. That's what she wanted to hear. She didn't want to have the conversation from here to there. And if I took my sweet time getting there, there would be judgment that came. And there would be pain and suffering and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. The truth of the matter is, we're to come in God's timing. You see, when we're away from God, it's because we drifted from God. It's because we did things that transgressed against God's law. And God is merciful enough to us as his children to say, come to me. God forbid that we would say, oh, I will, but I'll get around to that sometime. No. What God is saying here, he says to march, to pursue, to cause to run. He says, run to me. understand what's going on here. Look at what God has just said he was going to do in verse 14. Notice verse 14 of chapter 5. He says, "For I will be unto Ephraim as a lion and as a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will take away, and none shall rescue him." Hosea was speaking only what God told him to speak, and he says, "Come." Now, notice what's going on here. The God of heaven, even though Israel has turned their backs on him, even though Israel has shook their fist at him, the God of heaven is inviting them to come to him. These ones that wanted nothing to do with God, they've turned to their false idols, they've committed spiritual adultery, they've literally ran away from God, the one who has done so much for them. Now they are cursing his name, and God is saying, "Come unto me," because God cares for them. You know, Hosea knew something that we all need to understand. If you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, it doesn't matter what you've done or how many people you've hurt, how many lives you may have ruined by your sinful decision. It doesn't matter what's in your past. If you are unsaved tonight, God is calling you to come. But you better come. Better come quickly. Trust him as your personal Savior, but maybe you are saved and you've not been living the way that you should be. God is calling for you to come as well. Maybe you've made some bad decisions. You've gotten involved in some things that you should not have been involved in. You've done some things that you regret. God is telling you, you do not have to continue down this path. You don't have to continue doing these things. No, the God of heaven is saying, "Come unto me. Just come to me." God can help. Maybe you've gotten away from the Lord. Maybe your relationship with God is not as sweet as it once was. Do not allow the devil to make you feel defeated, because the Bible declares that we are more than conquerors through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're saved but you're away from him, turn back to God. It is time to return. Maybe you're here and by the grace of God, you are following him. You're doing your best to obey the Bible and yield to the Holy Spirit. Can I encourage you tonight to continue to do that? Don't allow the devil in this wicked, rotten world to convince you that there's something better than living for God. There's nothing better than that. Keep going for God. Continue to yield to him every single day, all throughout the day. You know what God is calling us as believers to do? Every day, all day, he's saying this, "Come unto me. Come unto me." I heard a preacher say this one time, and I'll never forget it. He says this, "You're only as close to God as you want to be." Think about that. God is there. God is unchanging. God is steadfast, but you're only as close to God as you desire to be. I'm only as close to God as I desire to be. Whenever we feel like there is this great space between us and God, and we feel like when we pray, our prayers are hitting the ceiling, we may feel like we're all alone. Can I tell you this? Draw closer to God. God is saying, "Come unto me." God is going to give you exactly what you need. That void that is there is not caused by God, but rather when we as believers have drawn away from him. See, we as believers must understand that no matter where a person is, whether they're unsaved or saved, maybe they're backslidden, they're saved, or maybe they're living for the Lord, you have the same job that Hosea had. God is telling us to tell people that the Lord is calling them to come. Maybe you have someone that is a great spiritual friend of yours, and they're strong in the faith. That's great. Encourage them to keep coming to God. Maybe there's ones that used to take a stand, and they're not taking that stand any longer. Well, rather than us complaining about where they're at and the decisions that they're making, and us thinking that it's our job to decide what they should and should not be doing, how about we encourage them to draw closer to God? Let's do that, because that's exactly what God told Hosea to do here. To a people that did not deserve grace, God said, "Tell them to come unto me." Why do we go out and knock on doors and hand out gospel tracts and try to be a witness? Because God has commanded us. We know the Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That's what we are to do. What is that doing? It's telling them that God says, "Come." It's an invitation. And everyone who has ever walked the face of the earth has a personal invitation from God Almighty to come unto Him. And we need to be telling them that. Think about how holy God is and think about how wicked we are. And that God is calling wicked men to come. Now, a holy God would have been completely justified in telling wicked man to go. That's not what He did. He would have been completely justified in saying this: you're all going to burn in hell. There's nothing you can do about it. I'm not giving you a way of escape. He would have been justified in doing that. But instead of saying go, He says come. Because that's how much our God cares for us. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what decisions you've made. God is calling you to come. The Bible declares that Christ came unto His own and His own received Him not, and yet He still called for them to come. That's His plea. So first of all, we see the plea to return. Second of all, notice the precept and the invitation. Notice the precept and the invitation. Look at verse 1 again there. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. Notice what we see here in verse 1. After God calls someone to come, He is not saying just come and do whatever you would like. No, it says this: come and let us return unto the Lord. Let us return. Isn't that the basic call of repentance? Come to God. Confess your sins. Repent of your sins. Accept Christ as your personal Savior. It has been said that repentance is a change of heart that results in a change of action. That is turning from one way that you're going and turning unto God and doing what God has told you to do. Well, I was preaching chapel at my boy's school. I preached there on Tuesday afternoons, going there and preach chapel for them. And we've been going through the life of Samuel. And I asked them this past week, I asked, there's 8 boys there in the chapel that I preached to. And I asked them all this. I said, what is repentance? And one of the little boys there, he raised his hand. So I called on him and he said this. He said, turning from one thing to another. I said, perfect illustration of repentance. Amen. Turning our back on what we always knew to do, but was evil, and turning to God. You see, that is repentance, turning back to the Lord. When a person repents of their sins, there is a direction shift on the inside, and you'll see that shift come to the surface very, very soon. We need to return to the Lord. We as believers need to be quick to confess our sins, but we convince ourselves that because we are saved, we have the right to live as we want to live. That's how we convince ourselves many times. But time and time again, we see the Lord calling people to return to Him. The truth is, when the Bible says return, something we need to understand is this simple truth. If you've never been somewhere, it's impossible to return there. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. It's not returning to Christ. It's trusting Christ as your Savior. Amen. But for those of us who have trusted Christ, came a long way since then, many of us. We've made bad decisions along the way. We've headed the wrong direction at some times. And we need to return unto God. See, church, these were God's chosen people, but they had strayed away from the Lord. And here is the preacher pleading with them to return to the Lord. And last week we discussed some of the judgment that will come if we do not turn to the Lord. We need to understand this. Judgment is coming. It's coming, but we need to return to the Lord. Why have we convinced ourselves that we get to decide what is going away from the Lord? God's Word is the measure, not our minds, not what man decides is right and wrong. No, we know that the Bible says that right is going to be called wrong, and wrong is going to be called right. Good is going to be called evil. Evil is going to be called good. Why do we let man decide what is right and what is wrong? Let's measure up to the Bible instead. Let's allow the Bible to be the measure of how we are to live. We've convinced ourselves that that we get to decide what is going away from God, but a lie is pulling us away from God. A bad thought is pulling us away from God. Looking at the opposite sex in the wrong way is going away from God, not towards Him. You see, many times we have in our mind, well, if someone steals, they're obviously away from God. If someone murders, they're obviously away from God. Well, if someone if they're a drug addict or if they're an alcoholic, well, they're obviously away from God. But then we have a spirit that is always looking down on people. We're away from God as well. You see, in God's mind, sin is sin. Sin is sin. We don't get to decide what is going away from God. Anything contrary to the Word of God is sin. And we need to understand that. You see, the Bible says here, return. Return. We need the Lord's help because Satan wants us to go away from God. You ever, of course, as you're going down the interstate, you've seen many times there's those little U-turn places there in the middle, and they're not technically U-turn places. They say authorized vehicles only. You say, well, I can't turn in there. So you keep going a little ways. And if you have any circumstances like I do, you'll be going down the road. You say, I really need to turn this thing around. And you go up to the next exit, and guess what? That exit's closed because of construction. So you're going to keep going. Keep going and keep going and keep going. And many times on an interstate, it's hard to start going back the other direction. It's hard. There's a time after time, there's this thing that gets in the way and this thing. You finally find an exit that's open, and then in the right lane of the road, there's a 18-wheeler there, and you can't get over, so you miss that exit. These are real-life experiences, amen? But you keep going and going and going. You see, I know I need to be going that direction, but I just can't get there. It's not that way when it comes to going the direction of God. When we turn back to God, understand this. We don't have to wait for the next exit. We don't have to break the law and that authorized vehicles only. No, God picks us up and sends us the opposite direction. All because we decided to turn back to Him. See, it's not some process. No, it's a mindset. It is confessing our sins unto God. When someone trusts Christ as their personal Savior, eternal life is not something they're going to get when they turn their life around. No, when they trust Christ as their personal Savior, eternal life is a current possession of theirs. Immediately they are justified before God when they've trusted Christ. Well, look at the sin in their life. Well, I would, but I can't see it over the sin in my own life. See, the truth of the matter is, God does the work. He does the work from the inside out. God was calling them to come. And notice, He was not saying, come on your own terms. He was telling them that you need to run to me. But He says, let us return unto the Lord. Church, we need the Lord's help. Before we get on our spiritual high horse and start thinking that, well, we're doing a good job spiritually, I want us to look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Notice what the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 53. Look at verse 6. Here in Isaiah chapter 53, of course, this is a passage that if you're speaking to a Jew, many times they will say they've never been taught out of this passage. Why? Because it speaks of Christ. It speaks of Christ being the Messiah. But notice verse 6 of chapter 53, it says this, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Something I've mentioned many times is when we read a verse, we say how simple the gospel of Jesus Christ is, and we say something like this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we'll say, what does all mean? Well, that means everybody. That means every single one of us have. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. See, each and every one of us, whether you're saved and you've been saved for many years, or you're a new believer, can I tell you this? All of us like sheep have gone astray. We've all went away from the Lord. We need the Lord's help to keep us close to Him. This isn't hard to understand. The word all, it means all. It doesn't mean except for these people. But even though we have all gone astray, even though all we like the sheep, we had everything we needed there with the shepherd. We had all the food we needed, all of the care that we needed, all the protection, all of the fresh water. We had everything we needed, and yet we turned our back on that, and we've gone astray from the shepherd, but the shepherd didn't leave us out there. No, the shepherd called for us. Notice here, it says there in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. See, that's accepting what we believe to be right, not rather than what the Bible says to be right. Each and every one of us, we've gone our own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our iniquity, all the sin that we have committed, was laid upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And yet, many of us, we've drifted from God. There may be some in this room here tonight that have drifted from God, and you say, I'm not as close to God as I used to be. Can I tell you this? God is still calling you to come and saying, return unto the Lord. But God's calling. So not only do we see the plea, not only do we see the precept, but also notice lastly here this evening, notice the promise in the invitation. The promise and the invitation. Hosea chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Let's read this here. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn. Notice this is where the promises start. And he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Those are promises they just read there. Hosea had just gotten done telling them exactly what God said that he was going to do to the nation of Israel. All of that judgment that was going to come. And then he ends this passage here in verse 3 with this, that God is going to come unto us as the rain. See, you draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. That's what the Bible says. And it says here, he shall come unto us. You know, I'm so thankful for the promises of God. The Word of God is full of promises. I can't remember the exact number, but over 8,000 vivid promises of God are found in the Word of God. I did not count them. I go by what someone else said. Amen. This book is a promise from God. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, we have promises from God that we can cling to. And I love to hear how those promises pertain to each one of us. But I love hearing about the promises I can apply to myself because of the principle behind that promise as well. Remember in verse 14, God told them exactly what was going to happen. They were going to feel pain. They were going to be torn. He said that he would be like a young lion to lion to Ephraim, a young lion to Judah. He said that judgment was coming, but then God doesn't stop there. No, God gives them the solution. God doesn't say, well, here's what I'm going to do, and if you make it out of this, then I'll do this. No, it's not what he said. He said, here's what I'm going to do to you. But after that, he said, I'm going to have grace on you. Notice verse 1, he hath torn, and he will heal us. Remember back in the verse 13, it says, when Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah saw his wound, then went Ephraim to the Assyrian and sent to King Jareb, yet could he not heal you nor cure you of your wound? God says, I'm going to hurt you worse than what you were hurt before, but then I'm going to heal you. Because he knows that was for their good. Verse 1 says, He hath torn, He will heal, He hath smitten, He will bind us up. Verse 2 says, He will revise us, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. The truth that we need to get a hold of here is the fact that God brought judgment, and the people of Israel felt pain. God was like that young lion which ripped them apart, but God's also going to be the one who heals them as well. God is the one who's going to smite them, but His hand is going to be the one that's going to bind their wounds. God is the one who hath caused them to feel as though they could not live, but yet God is the giver of life. You think of the 23rd Psalm when it says, "Thy rod and thy staff they comfort me." When a sheep would get out of line, the shepherd would take that rod, and you know what he would do? He would smack that sheep with the rod. We as sheep have gone astray. You know what's going to happen? Sometimes we're going to get hit with that rod. But the same rod that would strike them would be the same one that would touch them on the back as they were coming into the fold, making sure that all were there and safe for the evening. God says, I'm going to bring pain because of your sin. I'm going to allow that to come because you have transgressed against me. He says, but then I'm going to heal you. I'm going to cure you. I can think of, in my imagination, here's what I see going on. God is saying this, well, you thought you were in pain before when you went to the Assyrians. Well, I'm going to bring real pain on you now. And the way that you thought Jareb could heal you, the way that you thought the Assyrians could heal you, I will heal you. Because you turned to them and they couldn't do anything. Not only am I calling you to come, but I'm also going to heal your wounds as well. He's making a promise to them. You see, as we look at verse 3, this is the words of a man who has been through some trials. This is a man who has felt some pain, a man who has at times felt as though he was carrying more than he could bear. Who was the spokesman that God was using? This was Hosea. This was a man whose wife had left him, a man who had to go to the auction block, and he only paid half the price of what a slave would cost because of how deep his wife was in sin. This is the man that God is using here. And can you see this man as he is thinking about the goodness of God, as he is thinking about how God is going to heal? This is a man who was remaining faithful to God because he knew who God was. Each and every one of us have been through trial. And if you have came through a trial, you're through the trial because God brought you through that. Let's not lose sight of the fact that God brought us through things that we should not have came through. If you're saved here today, say amen. Amen. God saved you. He brought you out of that miry clay. You could have not have got there on your own. But God called you to come. And though we're saved here tonight by the word of our testimony, I can't help but think that there's sin in some of our lives that needs to be dealt with. And God's calling us to come. And he's saying, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do these things. He said, yes, there's pain. Yes, there is. There are things there that have smitten us, things that have hurt us. He says, but I will revive you. This man, Hosea, I'm sure he had faults. I'm sure he had failures, but he did not allow the devil to convince him that that was just par for the course. No, this man, he kept fighting. This man kept going for God. He found something to be true and something that we're going to find true about God as well. We see that in verse 3, that God is the healer and no one can heal like Jesus can heal. No one at all. When Jesus healed someone, it was a complete healing. He didn't stop halfway. When God saved us, He didn't stop halfway. No, we are completely justified in the sight of God. Notice He says He will be the rain for us. There in verse 3 it says, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Think about this. Many times in the summertime, we'll hear about places having a drought, and it may last for many weeks. It may last for a month or so, and it's a drought, and they've got all of these crops that are dying and all of these things that once had life, but now they're going through this dry spell, and there hasn't even been enough rain to where they can turn on irrigation systems or anything like that, and everything looks dead, everything looks barren, everything looks like there's no life left there. But then rain comes. You know what happens when that rain comes? Within a couple of days, you start seeing some light. You start seeing some grass. The grass starts to turn green again. And that life only comes from God. And it happens very quickly. Many times we are going through our life and we may be going through a dry patch. You may feel like you're in a spiritual drought. There may be circumstances going on in your family and you're wondering, how in the world am I ever going to make it out of this? You may be going through a health struggle and you're wondering, God, am I ever going to get through this? I feel like I'm in this drought. I feel like I can't get enough water. I feel like everything around me is dying. I feel like everything around me is losing its life. Lord, what can I do? God says, come, return to the Lord, and He shall come unto us as the rain. God said He's going to come, and He says He's going to come as the latter rain and the former rain unto the earth. This is how it is in our lives. A believer here tonight, I don't know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about, but speaking for myself tonight, I know that there are times in which I feel dry. Times in which I look around and it seems like there's no signs of life. And each and every one of us, you know what believers are? Many times we are professional con artists. Put on a good picture. Come into the house of God and, oh yeah, everything's great. Couldn't be better. Yet on the inside, there's a drought going on. On the inside, there's things that we've been dealing with. There's pain in our families. There's health struggles and all of these types of things. Sometimes there's no sign of life. We put on a good show, but it isn't true life. We need the life that can only come from the Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Can I tell you this? God wants to give you new life. He wants to make you a new creature, but you need to trust in Him. Maybe you're here and you are saved, but if you're honest with yourself and the Lord, you're thirsty. You're thirsty. You're in need of a drink of water that can only come from God. You know you're on your way to heaven, but you need the Lord to rain down upon you. God will do that. God will do that. Remember in the beginning of the message here, we were talking about those alarm bells that would go off. And when those things would go off, we would know exactly what we needed to do at that point. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about. I can only speak for myself tonight. But I can tell you this, alarm bells are going off. And God is saying, come. Come to me. Trust in me. No matter what you're going through, God says, I can heal you. I can help you. I know you're wounded. I can bind you up. I know you're dry, but I'll be the rain for you. God is saying, come. And it's time to return. You see, we must come. We must return unto the Lord, and God will do marvelous things in a people who allow Him to be the latter and the former rain on their life. You know, when God is ruling and reigning in someone's life, you see that coming out from them. You see that. It's like radiating from them the joy of the Lord. But even if you're walking around with the joy of the Lord, pain is still there. Suffering is still there. Those silent killers are still in our mind. No matter what you're going through tonight, understand this, that God says come. And it's time to return.